beyond the bounds of anything that they should be involved in, it appears suggesting that officers not protect the people that they've sworn to protect in order to strengthen the union's position in politics. And if that's actually true, it's outrageous.
We have to leave it there. Ben Jealous, President of People for the American Way, former president of NAACP, thanks so much for joining us, and a very happy birthday to Joe Parker. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
And to you, Amy. Happy birthday to you as well. It's 6 o'clock. You're listening to WUSB Stony Brook, and guess what? It's time for another exciting edition of Off the Wall. To everybody, the program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you, joined tonight by Kyle.
Yes, I'm over here. Can you see me?
I see you fine. I see you just fine. Yeah. No problems there.
How are you doing?
I'm not feeling so good. I don't know why. I just had a headache the last few days, all kinds of pains everywhere. Before I got the vaccine weeks ago, you know, so I know it's not that. It's probably just one of these, you know, transitioning into spring things that I get sometimes.
Yeah, I've noticed there's some color coming to the leaves, and the trees are budding as there's new growth emerging. It is that transitional, transformational period in the year.
Yeah, I hate it.
Well, love it or hate it, it is happening.
I don't think we're going to get any more snow this year. I think it's over.
You do?
No, I don't. I don't think we're getting any more.
Hmm. Yeah, that's probably... It's probably a fair assertion you're making there.
How you doing? Oh, that's right. You had a day today.
I'm okay. Keeping busy. I got so many shareholders meetings. I don't know. I can't even keep up with all the reporting. And, corporations, they have elections, you know, all these things going on. It's really interesting to hear politicians talk about companies not knowing anything. They could maybe, politicians could learn a thing or two about companies having elections. Of course, they have other kinds of elections. I think Amazon, of course, has now shut down the, Alabama?
Yes,
Alabama. The effort to organize there, a different outcome for a sort of corporate election, but... Mm-hmm. I guess that fight will go on as well, but I took some time, a little bit of time, because a lot of other things have been going on. I've been helping, really, you know. I needed a little bit of my own time to work on some things, and I tried to participate in something. I think our audience can relate. Just a very normal thing, having to do with healthcare. And I just made my appointment, and it happened to be at a large university in the area.
We don't want to get into specifics of this complete incompetence that you were met with, but it is a clinic on a major college campus in the Stony Brook area. That's as specific as I think we should get.
Yeah.
If people can figure that out. Good. Okay.
Leave
fine.
It to them.
Yeah,
they can
but we're
be,
not going to
super sleuth.
We're not going to name names.
No. We're above that. And really, this is about expressing craziness that happens, and that's what this is. What people are going through, and the community, our listeners, can relate. And the reason they can relate is because this perfectly normal appointment I tried to make and to set up.
We should tell people what it is.
It required.
You just wanted to get your teeth cleaned.
Yeah, I wanted it. Well, maybe some other stuff, you know, like you know how they take the X-ray?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you have to do that some places.
Uh-huh.
Point is, everybody in the kitchen sink is getting their teeth done. And I just thought, well, how's about I just fix myself a little appointment? And then I can use the magic of technology to... send whatever results to my normal dentist,
yeah,
right? That makes sense.
Using postal mail or perhaps a telephone call or even a fax machine.
Simple idea, simple concept. It's hard to travel right now. But I find I can allocate some time to this little project called oral hygiene. Now, for me, this is an important task. So I've followed all the guidelines and the rules that they put before me, one of which was getting... a COVID-19 test. I will say this requirement, how many months into this pandemic, this is the very first time I'd ever been faced with the need. And honestly, that's how well I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry about your life, but this is me. So first time I've ever had to take a COVID test, and I have to do it at this facility, and I make an appointment for that before I can do the other appointment. The main reason I'm trying to do this whole thing, right?
And this is after you got an antibody test,
That's separate. Don't confuse people.
Well, I'm not. But just, we are confused already.
We got to be relatable.
And a couple of days before you got your first vaccine shot.
It's not the point.
So you're covering the COVID bases here.
Forget it. It's just, it all hit me at once as far as all these little phenomena that many other people
But you
have
went and
with.
you got your COVID test from these very people.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's really easy.
What was that like?
I made an appointment and they dragged me in and, you know, did their swabbing thing and then sent me on my way.
The swabbing thing. I haven't done that. Is that unpleasant, the swabbing thing?
It's like bitter, kind of like an urge to sneeze, a bitterness and an urge to sneeze. Okay. That's what I remember.
But okay.
We're not here to review testing and, you know, rate it or whatever. That's not the point. Nobody cares what I thought of the test. The point is I did it. I cooperated. They didn't give me any information. It was just like handling it. So I'm like, okay, fine. That's not really what I'm trying to sort out anyway. I'm really late for some stuff that I just want to keep up with so that I'm healthy.
So you had to get the test before you could show up for your appointment, which was a couple of days afterwards, right?
That's right. It's within, I think, a week.
Okay.
So I'm scheduling that. Everything's going well. I get a phone call. I got a message.
Yes.
And the message was that for whatever reason, they had to cancel my appointment. I didn't really ask questions. I'm not going to pry. It's none of my business. The person that I was scheduled to see was not available. They had to cancel it. I'm crushed, honestly, because this particular situation involves me. And I, as I said, I'm pretty passionate about this. I think this is something worthwhile to me. I care about this. Not too excited at the thought that other people involved may not care as much as I do, but that is beside the point. I'm going to assume that they care a little bit.
So these things happen. So they've rescheduled you for week later, right?
I'm more than accommodating because I care so much. I'm easygoing, just super sweet, nice Seattle Kyle.
Let's not overdo it here.
He's like a prince among whatever. Okay,
Seattle Kyle can be pretty sarcastic.
Just a joy, just a rainbow of just rays of sunshine and all this. No.
Shoveling with both hands, aren't you?
No, I'm serious. I was very friendly. I said, okay, you know what? This is me being accommodating, being patient, as patients often are.
Oh, nice. I see what you did. Yeah, that's good.
Okay. So that's how that works. So I cooperated with that little hurdle, thinking, all right, I'll reschedule. We'll do this another time. I make that appointment and look forward to that very, very exciting day when I'll actually get to what's going to happen. Now, over the weekend and over some time, I'm thinking, and I suggested to you, wouldn't it be crazy if I needed to have like maybe another test or something?
Oh no, they would have told you. They're the same people. The people that scheduled your dentist appointment are the same people that gave you the COVID-19 test. So if you needed to take another COVID-19 test, they would tell you that.
They've got it handled.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, they are so confident. They didn't even tell me what happened with the result. I don't know. I don't have any info on the results.
They didn't tell you if you tested positive or negative.
I have no clue. I have no clue. I have zero information. So I'm going to work under the assumption that I'm, you know, if they're rescheduling me, that I'm good to go and I've done everything that they've suggested
I do. Right.
So then I show up to my appointment 5 minutes early. And I place a phone call letting them know. And I had a reminder yesterday and over the weekend. It basically was about, being there on a certain point and then, making sure you're tested.
Which they had already done, so they should have known they tested.
They did
you.
That 2 weeks ago. That's fine, right? We already crossed that Rubicon. I show up and I discuss coming in. It's so ridiculous. I'm like asking permission if I can come into a building. It's crazy. And I'm, here I am trying to get to something after like 3 weeks or a month. And I get basically computer says no. And I joked about that. I was like, you know, I'm here. What do you mean COVID test? I didn't need one. I was supposed to be here another time. And then I changed this appointment to accommodate. And now I'm here for the change. You handled that.
Right.
And here's me again showing up when I said I would show up, when you would take my money, when you would do all the things like your job that you think you can do. And that's when they basically said that now I'm incorrect, that I have to get another test. And that was the first I had heard of that, that in all this rescheduling and shoving me around, like, you know, I'm just surfing through their schedule whenever and wherever, I'll just show up and we can waste all the energy I have for this. They basically, you know, resolved to push me out to another appointment for guess what?
Another COVID test.
Another COVID test. That's right.
So it's, now wait a minute.
Now you're getting the pattern.
You have to take another COVID test, which, you know, it might not sound unreasonable, but the people who rescheduled your appointment are the ones who gave you the COVID test. So they should have done that as part of the rescheduling. But, you know, I can see why you might need a negative result within a certain amount of time beforehand. But it's up to them. If they're going to change your appointment, they have to cover that as well. They have to at least tell you, this is what you need to do. This is what will be happening. Instead of having you come all the way there and then telling you, as if you did something wrong, that you have to do it this way. That's insane. That is crazy. Speechless.
I don't have the words. It's like, it's the type of situation where maybe a student or people that are taking these tests all the time, like, oh yeah, I had 5 COVID tests this week. I don't have that.
I don't understand why they couldn't just take the test since you were there, since they're the same people that give the test.
No, it's...
Why couldn't they just give you the test on the spot?
They only get 2 days out of the week.
What does that mean, they only get 2 days out of the week? They're the people that do it.
They only want to schedule it on one or the other end of the week.
Yeah, but we don't always get what we want. You didn't want to be there today.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I'm talking to this person, trying to explain to them why I didn't test, because I had an appointment that I had been tested for.
Is it the same person that you talked to?
It got changed. It was an emergency, and I'm now back for the replacement appointment. And I was explaining to them that, yeah, it was some change.
It was their emergency.
Then I realized the person I talked to was you. I talked to you. Because I was saying they didn't tell me. And then I was like, no, you didn't tell me. You, this person, you, we're on such great terms.
We haven't formally met.
Yeah, I think this is really going swimmingly. But joke is on them, because they are a tool. They are simply going to perform a function for me to get some information.
Not if they're listening to this show.
And all that friendly talking, goody, nice stuff is out the window anymore. I am done with this.
Yeah, you thought you were going to get friendly Kyle. You're going to get nasty Kyle now, because...
Do not mistake me for a nice person.
No, nobody does.
Please, just don't. Yeah. It's better. It's just better for you. Please. It was so infuriating to have foreseen this, but followed instructions, and because of someone else's carelessness in their job. What about my deadlines?
You know, what's
weird?
What
about my life? What about my...
You called them yesterday to make sure nothing like this happened, and they never called you. They just made you go all the way in there to be told that you couldn't go in. Wow, that's a story. That is something. And it made my headache go away for some reason. But I'm sure it'll be back. I'm sorry, Kyle. On behalf of dental clinics everywhere, that should not have happened.
I was actively working not to be my emotions in the moment, and I realized this is the kind of thing that makes people snap.
Yeah.
Like this little thing, and I've had a bunch of other crappy things happen today. Like, it's just been, yes, one of those days, but in some small ways, I've tricked things, the universe, as it were. If you want to get metaphysical, I did get some nuts and bolts and some little electrical terminals I'd been meaning to get to at the hardware store.
Oh, there you go.
Little wins here and there, you know.
Doesn't take much to make you happy, does
bits
it?
Bits and bobs. Just keep him over in the corner. He'll organize that coffee can full of screws. Yeah, keep him busy.
Well, we have a new saga to follow.
Oh.
Kyle trying to get his teeth cleaned.
Seriously, I am this close. I will eBay scalers myself and like prop myself up.
What's a scaler?
Dental scaler. They're the things they use to scrape your teeth.
Wow.
They're sharp.
I didn't know that.
That's what the instrument's called. It's called a scaler. So I'm like this close to, you know, DIYing some teeth cleaning.
DIY dentistry. You know, I had this idea years ago, and I think it's still a good idea.
I don't think people care enough. They don't know who they're talking to. Just remember that. Mm-hmm. Wherever you are, whatever kind of work you do, just remember you never know who you're talking to. And that goes both ways, all the way around. And
well, you literally didn't know who you were talking to before because that person didn't introduce themselves or tell you that you had talked to them on all the other occasions that you had reason to talk to them.
I know who I'm talking to now.
Well, now you do, yes.
I get their thing and their domain there, and I will be in their orbit and avoiding everything. I'm just really going to shut down, be super quiet, I'm going to be all business, super scary, just please don't bother me. I don't want to be social, you know. It'll be like antisocial, but not antisocial. Just he has been damaged.
Yeah, but you know, you have this niceness that emerges.
And I know
it can be lured out, and all it's going to take is like, you know, a puppy, which they sometimes have in dental.
I just want to get through it.
You know, a little toddler bouncing around, or a nice story, or a pleasant smile, which you will have when this is all over. But you still have to go through another COVID test, and you're midway through your vaccine, which is it's kind of weird timing. But in the end, you will be better for it.
I might just cut and run. I'll just give up completely. I mean, what's the point anyway? Who cares?
That's the theme of our show. Who cares?
You want to talk about this movie or what are we doing?
No, we're not talking about that till later.
Corruption.
Put that away.
Oh, okay.
We're talking about the vaccine because we're talking about vaccines.
Oh, yeah. Johnson & Johnson.
Okay. All right. So don't panic, people, because they stopped giving out Johnson & Johnson because they're worried about people getting blood clots. First of all, I think it's 6 people this happened to out of tens of millions that have gotten the shots. It's something to look into, and I think what they're doing right now is the responsible thing, looking into it, seeing if there is a connection. Doesn't mean there is a connection. They're looking into it. More people get blood clots from birth control pills than from this. Obviously, more people are taking this right now, so it's something that needs to be followed up upon. But it's no reason to not get the vaccine. You can't get the Johnson & Johnson vaccine right now. You'll get a Pfizer vaccine instead if you have an appointment for that. But definitely do not shy away from getting the vaccine. I had no side effects. Unless somehow me getting sick 2 weeks afterwards is a side effect, I don't think it is. But and you've been fine after your first shot, and looking forward to your second.
Have I? Yes.
Can't blame that dentistry thing on COVID.
Yes, I've been fine.
Uh-huh.
Yes, the answer is yes.
And people out there, you'll be fine too. And we'll all get back to normal. You know, in about a month, we'll be able to go back to the studio. Because we'll both be past our second shots, enough to be considered fully vaccinated. So normalcy returns.
We still have to get tested, though, to be on campus. I mean, I think
if we got vaccinated, why would we have to get tested? We have those little white cards.
Is that I don't know. See, it's been so long. I'm forgetting what does it even mean? Don't we need a passport?
Well, if we have to get tested every time we go into a building, I'll stay away from the building then. But no, I don't think I'm fairly certain that's not how it works.
I don't even know what we're walking back to.
Yeah, but this is the kind of thing. This is the kind of uncertainty that you had just gone through where people don't communicate. And it results in complete confusion.
Well, yeah, remind people,
exactly.
Especially if it's like new procedures and please change the subject.
Well, that's it as far as vaccines go. So please register, whatever state you're in, whatever the country you're in. I got to say, you know, looking at what's happening in Canada, it tears me apart because the numbers are just going up north of the border. And the number of people who have been vaccinated is so incredibly low. We're, I think, hovering at about 20% of people who have been completely vaccinated. That's both shots. They are at 2%. And that's just not right for any place. Third world countries are doing terribly. The way a pandemic works, if you don't cover everybody, it's still going to be out there. It's still going to be a massive problem. So we can't get all nationalistic about the vaccine. We can't get all corporate about the vaccine. We have to give the vaccine to everybody, period. And, you know, I'm just hearing a lot of bad ideas as far as how the thing should work. I think it's going well in this country, but it needs to go as well in other places. European Union, for instance, they need to reach agreements and make sure every country is dealt with on an equal basis. And we all need to work on the rest of the planet as well, so that this thing is eradicated. That's the idea. It doesn't do us any good if only, you know, a couple of countries are okay, because there's a whole planet left. So, I haven't gotten into the people that are spreading misinformation, because they have always been a problem from the onset of this thing. So it's good here. We feel good, but it's not good throughout the world. And we can't just think of ourselves.
You trying to, are you talking about me?
Okay, I wasn't, but maybe am I?
No, I'm thinking about everybody else.
Okay, I mean, everyone I know, I think, is taking this seriously, and has either made an appointment or has gotten a shot so far. If you can't say the same, that's a problem, you know. And we all need to reach out to people, friends, relatives, even enemies, make sure everybody is taken care of one way or another. We're doing this for nothing. All right, you know what? Let's change the subject. Something I'll make you a little bit more cheerful. Weed. Weed is now legal in New York, as we know. Last week we were talking about how some short-sighted town supervisors and mayors are already talking about banning the sale on Long Island. Which basically would mean that you couldn't go to any shops on Long Island. You have to go someplace off the island. And for stupid reasons as well. Well, okay, in one step, this may have been solved. Because the Shinnecock Nation out east basically announced that they will be breaking ground for a marijuana cultivation facility on its Southampton reservation. And that's coming in a few weeks. And what they're going to be doing is actually selling it in a few months, not next year, a few months. And by doing this, it kind of makes it pointless to ban it in other parts of the island. In fact, I have to say, the town of Babylon supervisor, Rich Schaefer, I think we talked about him last week. He seems to have changed his mind. He basically had some conversations and he listened. And now he's saying that this might not be the best thing. And that he was schooled a bit on just what the dangers are. And the fact that if you ban it here, people are just going to get it someplace else. You're keeping the black market open. You're making more dangerous content available to more people. Unregulated sales. And it's a short-sighted move. Plus, you know, if you look at every jurisdiction, every town, every village where this is allowed, I believe you told me this. Not one has gone back. Not one has said we want to ban it after making it legal.
Yeah, it's often the case that, in fact, places that are opposed to it tend to follow other jurisdictions around them after seeing the progress that is made in places where it is legal. But the opposite is a lot less common. In fact, like you said, I don't think it has happened. Like, a place that legalizes and decriminalizes creates that foundation in their community that fits their community best, has ever gone back and said, you know what, this really was never a good, you know, it's not the right kind of revenue or something like that. It's a good move, and it acknowledges something that people know is in their community. They know is in their neighborhood, and by capturing that market and organizing it in a way that fits your community, mm-hmm. you're really getting way ahead. And as you say, like, it's a long-term investment in how and creating an investment in a revenue stream, really, for a small city, just a supplemental, like a little bit of, you know, extra money. And I even think that some of the estimates are really low. I think the market out here, you think about tourism and stuff, it's probably a lot larger than what they're saying for the state. I think they're lowballing it and playing really safe. But we have to see, and these areas have to build out, and it's going to take time for them to really stretch and come up with, as I'm indicating, things that fit.
Yeah, the number of new businesses and jobs that will be opened up, plus the tax revenue, it's shutting down the black market of marijuana sales. These are all positives, and all you have to do is cross the border into Massachusetts and see for yourself. Go to the website; it's amazingly well organized, and you can just pick a place, go there, see how well regulated it is, how educated the people are who work there, how friendly they are, how careful they are as far as making sure that you're of legal age and that you match the ID that you show them. It's, you know, it's a professional operation. It's being done well.
And it is not encouraging. I mean, a lot of the black market trade is coming from outside anyway. When you prohibit in an area and create steep penalties and so forth, you're disincentivizing, but you're creating incentive elsewhere to transport it or otherwise saturate an area that doesn't have a supply. You create a pent-up demand. And in a really huge market like New York, you're creating a lot of incentive in other states and places that they've already got like a legal system, or they're already well, like, far along in that process, that it's easy money for people and easy money that the state's losing. So it's kind of important to recognize that you're going to drain the demand from out of state growers and stuff, and really truly supply something that's from the state, that the state can actually be proud of, and then direct the funds in the ways that they think are best.
Rich Schaefer, the Babylon Town supervisor, who was dead set against it last week, is now saying opting out is still an option, but I would say it's probably the least viable option. It only makes sense if it's a large geographic area, and if it's not going to be, then our job is to work with all the advocates and figure out how to make this the most compatible to our respective jurisdictions. That sounds reasonable. That sounds fine. Now, you know, Kyle, you were telling me something about Long Island specifically, how it's good for growing.
Oh, yeah. That's the backdrop of this that I think would have been a real shame if really big towns out here were trying to not embrace this, or not at least look at the physical, the geography itself, and the unique attributes of the agricultural heritage, I want to say, or community. It's a really big thing in New York, and I've come from a state that also has a lot of agriculture, and we share, I think, apple growing, of course. But what a lot of people don't realize is the conditions on Long Island are very, very unique. And what the USDA or the I guess knowledgeable, the sort of scientists behind the agro business, the way they look at the geographical areas, they split it into temperate zones. And so ask any gardener. I mean, this is like Farmer's Almanac stuff. But they'll tell you that we are in Zone 7. And Zone 7 is rare. And in fact, Zone 7 right here on Long Island is the only place where there is Zone 7 in New York State. So no other part of this state has a Zone 7 climate condition.
What does that mean, Zone 7? Is it a particular type of temperature, climate? What is it?
Well, that's a good question. The specifics of it, I can maybe get you a ballpark idea, but basically it means the growing conditions are really good.
Because of temperature, because of latitude, or...
Yeah. The seasonal latitudes, the hydrologic cycle, that's water, uh-huh. and attributes of that, and also soil conditions historically. We're sitting on basically like, it's basically like all the stuff in front of a big earth mover, right? But the earth mover was a glacier.
Okay.
Okay, and all of that sediment and geological material that melted and came down in this area created a really unique terrain.
I was afraid that Long Island would be too sandy, you know, to grow. But then again, you have the vineyards out east, and they do incredibly well. So yeah,
that's a key. I guess. Hallmark of an area is a great agricultural community, and in this case vineyards, right? Mm-hmm. they do really well in and what it's called is it's a hardiness zone or gardening zone, I guess it's a range of 13.
Okay,
so I'm looking at some of the info. I don't really know the exact fine gradations, but it's think of it as a range.
But it's a good climate for this, which is, that's nice to know. I didn't know Long Island was particularly suited really for anything, but that's encouraging to hear. So more positive news.
Yeah, it's minimum average temperatures of 0 to 10 Fahrenheit. So
0 to 10 Fahrenheit? You mean Celsius, I assume. Right? I mean, 10 Fahrenheit is well below freezing.
Yeah, minimum average between 0 and 10, or negative 17 C and negative 12 C.
What temperatures are these? These are very cold temperatures.
Minimums, so the lower end of it. But
okay,
that's the kind of criteria. So you have hardiness zones around the country, and point is, it would have been a missed opportunity if you weren't encouraging in a place that's doing so well for mm-hmm. other industries that are, flourishing, taking advantage of this great environment. So it's really exciting to hear about what the tribes are doing. And suffice to say, we're going to have a lot more discussions about this and plenty more updates on the kinds of exciting projects. I'm sure people are going to come up with crazy stuff.
And I just want to thank the Shinnecock Nation, because they may have just solved this problem by simply making that announcement. They're not beholden to New York State. They can just do that. And if they're doing it, then it makes all of this opposition meaningless or certainly powerless. So
I really, truly was heartened to hear that. And it's the kind of, you like to see sovereign parts of this country exercise that and lead in that way. I think we can all kind of look to that as a leadership thing for the area.
And yes, it's time once again for another edition of Films of the Year That Was, where we venture out and see an Academy Award winning film. And we are up to, well, still 1996. This week we saw the foreign film for 1996. Maybe we should just see foreign films, because the last few American films have really, they're good, they're okay, you know. Forrest Gump, Braveheart, and what was the last one? I don't even remember.
Harvey Weinstein tale. Oh, no.
don't call it that. It's bad enough as it is. The English Patient. Thank you.
The English Patient.
Yeah, but, you know, the foreign films are actual films. And we just saw one from Czechoslovakia, 1996. What's it called, Kyle?
Kolya.
Now, it was very confusing at first, not the film, but getting the film, because it's online on one of those streaming services, but they got the year wrong. They called it 2001. That's the year the DVD was released, okay, but not the year the film was released. They also spelled it a little bit differently. But, you know, what's weird is they had the old one up, but the film wasn't available, but the trailer was. And we looked at the trailer after we saw the film. And I got to say, Americans even managed to screw up foreign films with the trailer. They turned it into this ridiculously stupid slapstick type of a plot that was not what the film was about at all. So if you go to the Kolya and you look at the trailer, you won't want to see the film. But if you see the film, I think you'll be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, just it could totally change it. The music and the way it was cut was totally market specific. So they just cut something that's on an American service or in a region that's going to have a certain type of viewer. Was not original. It's really inauthentic. The film itself, though, really amazing and touching and kind of a sweet take on this kind of grouchy guy that has his routine, and his life is kind of all his own, and he just does his performing, makes his money, and you know, has a good time, but then a love interest of his leaves him with this child.
Well, that's not entirely true, because it's not a love interest. It's a marriage of convenience.
An arranged marriage.
Yeah, it's like it takes place in 1988, right before the Soviet Union fell, right before Czechoslovakia became independent. They're still under Soviet influence, still Soviet troops in the street. He agrees, because he owes a lot of money, he agrees allow this Soviet woman to marry him, he gets paid a lot of money for that. Unfortunately for him, though, she immediately goes to West Germany with her Czech visa or Czech passport, wherever she gets out of the deal, which kind of screws him over, because he looks very suspicious now. And of course, he is targeted by the police, who think that he did exactly what he did do. But in the process of her leaving to go to West Germany, she left him with her 5-year-old kid. And I tell you, the 5-year-old kid really stole the show, as kids do in many of these films. He just basically not only won us over, but won the main protagonist over in the film. And the whole thing is about their growing relationship and his attempts to stay out of trouble.
And he has the endearing closeness and caregiving and teaching. He's helping him and becomes really protective, mm-hmm. I think, towards the end of the film. And there's a lot of artistic... I love the artistry in some of the filming. There's certain portions of it that are... that really struck me as like surreal and almost psychedelic. Some of the stuff where they're double exposing, basically layering moving images on top, one on top of the other, on top of the other. That beautiful like kaleidoscope of motion and that layering, it looked like it was an animation or some kind of really trippy drawing, but it was photography, which... To me, I love the ways that showing images like that can mess with your mind.
Yeah.
And especially with movement and that active, dynamic, visual communication, it just takes you off. And that's why I say surreal, because one minute you're in like a room and then you're kind of just... focused in on something really close. There was a lot of really tight photography, just little gestures like the hands, mm-hmm. when the I don't know what the kid's name was.
Kolya.
The name of the film.
Yes.
Grabs the hand or doesn't, or there's like tight shots of the crossing signals, and they're cutting and showing that this is teaching him in this moment, and he's at a certain has a certain enmity and love for his caretaker that he's ready to trust him enough to, you know, participate in this thing that a crossing sign is actually literally telling him to do, you know, join hands.
Because he didn't trust him at all at first. He wouldn't even talk to him.
Yeah, and there was a little bit of a playfulness about him being Russian, and he was covering for him not being Russian.
Right. The kid spoke Russian, and the guy spoke Czech, and neither one of them, Luca was his name, Luca spoke Czech, neither one of them spoke the other one's language. The kid started learning some Czech, but what we don't get as English viewers, there are all these words, you say a word in a particular language, and it means something completely different in a different language. And we don't get that because we don't know either language. So if you watch this film and you either know Czech or you know Russian, you'll get a lot more out of this film than just watching it as English speakers. Not to say we won't get a lot out of it, but there's this whole other level of language playing that's going on where they're saying all kinds of funny things.
It's good that you point that out, and I suspect a lot of the foreign films that we've seen, there is so much nuance we're losing in translation. We just don't get it in captions. Captions are nice, they give you a little bit of a structure, but it's not the whole story at all. So little slang or subtleties, nuances of the time. I mean, we can do a little bit with historical context and glean as much as we can, but you have to be really active in your watching, especially when you're reading stuff, to just keep up.
Those words, by the way, are called false friends. They actually have a phrase for this, false friends. So an example, the English word embarrassed, we know what embarrassed means, but in Spanish, embarazada means pregnant. So that could cause some confusion. The word parents, the Portuguese parentes, and Italian parenti mean relatives. So you have parents in one language, but that word means relatives in another language. Sensible means reasonable in English, but it means sensitive. Sensible means sensitive in French, German, Italian, and Spanish. So those are false friends. And the film is full of false friend examples, which you won't get unless you know either one of those languages. Preferably both. But the film is great. Again, so many cultural differences. You know, you couldn't make a film like this in this country without being investigated, because I don't know if it's a requirement of European films with kids where they all have to be taking baths, but they seem to always have that scene.
Oh yeah,
and they don't cover anything up. In this country, you can't do that. You just can't. It wouldn't be acceptable. Another scene where the kid is like standing next to an open window. I mean an open window. On like the fourth floor.
Yeah, he's looking at the pigeons.
There's no screen. It just opens up and he's standing right there.
He's like six stories up or whatever.
You couldn't do that. I don't think you should do that.
So yeah, we saw quite a bit of the Czech Republic. Had the nudie pants cameo there, which is, I guess, a requirement. But yeah, we saw the escalators and some of the train stations. I mean, we'd been to these train stations.
Yes, yes.
We'd seen... probably been on the very escalators coming out. So there was a lot of familiar imagery there. And the trams. Remember, there were a couple scenes of this rural countryside, but it's got the two-car tram car doing this like long-distance train run because everything's electrified there. So the difference, the distinction between like a rural tram and a city tram, it's not much. And you very quickly become, you know, part of the agrarian outlying regions just a few kilometers outside the city. So it made sense that the same type of vehicle would make that trip. But you went back and forth between the sort of these city environments and the countryside and seeing that form of transport or even the lettering, the very large letters on those train cars, really familiar and iconic, or like quintessentially, I guess, Czech in a lot of ways. Anyway, that's all I have. We could go on, but impeccable photography. This very, very, very skilled color, beautifully done.
So, Kolya, we recommend it. Spelled K-O-L-Y-A, is that correct?
Well, there were two. It's K-O-L-J-A.
What K-O?
Or the transliteration, I guess, or the American English is K-O-L-Y-A.
Okay, so either one, you'll find it that way. So that is all we had time for this week. But that was worth it. That definitely was worth it. Okay, back to America. More police shootings. This is unbelievable. We have the trial going on, of course, and the Derek Chauvinist trial that is happening.
I've been watching this. It's really heart-wrenching.
Now it's the defense. The defense is going to try and defend this guy, and they have a very difficult job. But, you know, I worry about the jury. I worry about if they're just going to blindly believe, you know, well, you don't know what it's like to be a cop. Yeah, you also don't know what it's like to be a black person growing up in the shadow of the cops. And I hope that they take that into account and that they judge this based on the evidence. And the evidence is not good for the defendant at all. And then, you know, less than... Then 10 miles away, you have another situation that never should have happened. The case of Dante Wright in a place called Brooklyn Center, Minnesota. Unbelievable. This cop killed him because he didn't comply, which is a very Nazi Germany-ish type of a thing to even say. She claims that she meant to tase him. First of all, why? Why is it necessary to tase somebody who isn't threatening you in any way? He didn't have a weapon or anything like that. We've come to accept this as normal. It shouldn't be normal. Yeah, sometimes people don't cooperate. Sometimes people talk back. It happens. You should be grown up enough to deal with that and to figure out a way to calm the situation down. This guy had done nothing wrong. He had an expired license plate, or he had air fresheners covering his mirror. I keep hearing different things, all of which are incredibly minor, things that many of us have gotten stopped for and not killed. So it's pathetic that this keeps happening, and it's just indicative of the fact that we don't seem to learn.
If any of those were criteria, I would have been dead like six, maybe a dozen times over. I've been stopped so many times for nothing.
I was told by a cop, if you were an N-word, and yes, he did say it, you'd be dead. I would have killed you. He said that to my face in Suffolk County. This is in the 1980s. Okay, maybe things have changed, but that's not fantasy. And in many places, it's still the reality.
There's discussion of bringing up the unions on RICO charges. I was hearing that this afternoon. I think that was Democracy Now! The guest there was talking about it. And there really is a problem. And this light, this searchlight, this spotlight is really shining on this. And my fear after this is I'm concerned, and I truly am vigilant for the outcome of this, because if there is no justice, there certainly will not be peace. And it's going, the jury, I know a lot of people are really hoping they do their jobs.
Yeah, but will there be another jury for this case and for the one after that and the one after that? When is it going to stop? When are we going to say this? We're doing something wrong. In Germany, it takes years to be trained as a cop. In this country, I think we're talking weeks.
You don't have to have a college degree at all.
We need to change things.
That to me is insulting.
In Brooklyn Center, for instance, nobody on the police force lives in the town. You need to live in the town. People need to know who you are. It shouldn't be this... this anonymous stormtrooper type of mentality that has taken hold. You need to be part of the community. You need to answer for things you do, just like anybody else in the community needs to. All I'm hearing about is that these towns in Minnesota are on edge. Yeah, you should be on edge. After killing somebody for no reason, that's the very least you should be.
Another point that was brought up on Washington Journal this morning was the fact that a lot of these departments are hiring vets, and that's probably not a good idea. Like, it's good to hire vets, but maybe not this type of job. Like, maybe they should do a different type of work.
Maybe the job needs to be redefined where it's not militarized like this.
Well, it's lending itself to a lot of the ugliness that transfers from trauma and military culture in general.
Right.
And I really think that it may be tempting to, like, you know, okay, these guys know weapons. Yeah, but do they know the work? Do they know the community? That needs to be the emphasis. And I think we got to take, if we're not taking a hard look at all these things over and over and over and over again every single day, until these cases go away completely, just like this pandemic, I mean, our work's not done.
Very true. Very true. We'll talk more about this. I'm sure the nation will talk more about this. About how to redefine things, how to make us safer, all of us. And also, there's Satan, too. Satan's in the news. Lil Nas X's Satan shoes apparently getting some Christians really, really upset. And it's in the main headlines now, the threat of Satan. Yeah, so I figured, why not go out with some of my favorite satanic music?
Beware of false prophets.
Electric Hellfire Club, we'll see you next week. Good night.
Well, hey there, it's Finn. And of course, the famous Hellfire Club right here. And now we're going to kick it in to a little bit of the revolution right here.